Pete Alonso and remaining free agents is still speculative where they're going to fall, but how do the Mariners fit into all of this? Let's get into it.
And a wave and a miss. He'll go down on Pete Alonso! Great enough! Blows it past the left Clement. High fly ball into left center field. This one will send Larnick back, and that is gone. Ernie Clement with a first inning home run. Right. It's 1-0 Twins here in the opening inning. Swing and a ball drilled. Right field. Freelick back.
Welcome back to the Touching Bases podcast. Today, I have another episode of Baseball Chaos, and today joining me is Colton and Joe from Mariner Mojo on YouTube. They're tied for second with the most followed podcast for Mariner baseball, so it's something special to watch. I mean, they're a little bit behind ESPN Seattle, but we won't talk about them today. Also, they are cooking up something special. They are going to try and report an entire month of feedback, what's going on in spring training for the Mariners. They're going to be heading down there. They're setting up a fundraiser to help them get to Arizona and spend time with the Mariners, tell us what's going on, and kind of get some positive feedback. So if you guys can, the links will be down in the description to go support them, and then also check out their channel if you haven't already. But if you know me, you probably know them. Thanks, guys. You're here.
Thanks, Chad.
I'm looking forward to it, man. This is going to be fun. Our first time here on Touching Bases. We were finally able to get something worked out, so I'm excited to, you know, talk some ball. It's actually been a minute since, what was the last time we were on something, Joe?
Was it
Couch
GM?
Was it
Lyle and TJ?
It was Marine Lair, probably.
Last year.
Yeah.
Okay.
Other than doing Jake's year. like when he was doing like Raise the Trident podcast, we were doing his little segment like that we would record individually for him. But
you guys were hosting. I was gonna say you're hosting that, so I mean that's kind of, I guess, people that's on his but on your channel, so it's a little bit back and forth. But that was the first time you guys had me, so I appreciate you guys inviting me into that, and then I could try and help contribute a little bit. So
that was fun.
We stayed up way too late.
Yep.
Yeah, a little bit.
Had to work the next day. Loved it.
Yeah, me too. That was real bad. I got like 2 hours of sleep, and people were asking what was wrong with me. But we're not talking about that today. We're talking about free agents. And the first one I really want to dig into, because he's a hot topic, and I understand that you guys have probably covered him multiple times and everybody's rolling their eyes, but I have a take, and I want to get your guys' opinion first. But Pete Alonso, let's talk about it. Joe, Colton, whoever wants to go first. I mean, where do you guys stand with him for the Mariners specifically? And what would you like to see, and what's realistic?
I give it a big thumbs up. I think it'd be a fine addition. I don't think, obviously the money that you'd owe to Pete Alonso, I think the beginning of the offseason has vastly changed, or the perception around it has changed a lot in the last, say, 2-3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And if they can somehow do the deferred money devil magic, I don't know if they would, but if they could, that would be obviously an ideal situation, depending on how it all shapes out. But you look at Anthony Santander with the Blue Jays, and it averages out to $14 million per annual average for a season for his 5-year contract.
I thought it was 18 and a half. Sorry, I don't mean
18.
To cut you off.
No, you're fine. 18, and then the deferred money.
Oh, deferred. Sorry, go ahead. Yeah.
So yeah. So the deferred money allows it to be cheaper in the present time. So it's if you get Pete Alonso, and if they do deferred money, if it's not the 3-year contract with an opt-out after the first one, which is what a lot of people I think are entertaining right now. Mm-hmm. If you don't do that and you go for a more 4-year whatever, and then you extend it with deferred money, if you can get him for 18 for an annual average with deferred money included, that's a slam dunk of a player to kind of add to your offense, because Pete Alonso, all he's done in New York is hit 30 bombs and driving 100 RBI, pretty consistently. Mm-hmm. Last year, it was his worst year offensively. It's sure, there might be cause for concern there, but that's the only season that he's posted an OPS below 800. And if you're looking at what Seattle needs as far as lineup, variability, a guy that's going to post an OPS above 800 would be really nice to add into the lineup. And I know a lot of people are they added Donovan Solano, he can play a little bit of first base, and so can Luke Raley. It's and then you'll get the other side of that conversation where people are you need the first baseman that hits 40 bombs, traditional baseball kind of stance. And it's I don't necessarily feed into that a ton, but I'm not going to say no to Pete Alonso on the Mariners. because with what we've got this offseason, that would be your best move by like a billion.
Yeah, it doesn't take much to beat what they've already done so far at the same time. So, I mean, that's also, I'm right there with you. It's very funny how like the lack of moves have drawn this extreme one side or the other. Like the middle ground is, I can't find very many people with like a middle ground. They're like, oh my God, we need to do this. We need to go trade and go big here. Or it's like, we need to spend a ton of money. It's like, we could maybe do a little combination here. And I'm starting to think, I mean, I'm glad you brought up, you know, the Santander deal, and I'll elaborate. I'm just like you guys. I can't speak either. I'll elaborate on that a little bit more as far as my case goes, but yeah, it's just, I'm starting to give a benefit of the doubt that Jerry's waiting because he read this in the market, that there's something weird going on where teams are not going to extend certain players and they're not going to bring back certain players. And it's going to cause like drama disruption to where he may be able to step in. This is all theory. Of course, I have no idea, but also it's not exactly Jerry's like choice if there's no money to spend at the same time. Yeah. But granted, next year, like, there's a lot coming off. I know it'll go to arbitration, but if we were to take 16 mil this year and then they're going to get a 16 mil increase next year, I see some possibilities there. I'm not saying for sure, but that's kind of my stance. But Colton, I want to hear your side too.
Yeah, I think that signing Alonso, like Joe said, is it's the right move. I think that it's something the Mariners should do, and a good baseball team would. Unfortunately, the Mariners are run by John Stanton. And so I think that it's certainly possible based on deferrals, based on all that stuff. But why would, I mean, Alonso probably just wouldn't want to come here in the first place. You know what I mean? But
it's when possibility.
When you look at his swing data and every year prior to 2024, he would hit fine here. Like, he hits hard enough to where he hits the ball hard enough and far enough where he's still going to get it out of T-Mobile Park, no matter what. It's not like New York is like a super easy place to hit. And the thing with him in 2024 is he was just hitting the ball on the ground a lot more than he ever has before. And that obviously led to less home runs, and kind of similar to what we saw. Julio was hitting the ball the other way a lot, which led to less home runs for him as well. Less power, similar story to Pete Alonso. So I think it's probably just a simple mechanical change to get Alonso right back where he needs to be. As to whether or not the Mariners can actually be the team to give him the money, I don't know, man. It's very tough to say. I know there were talks about the Blue Jays signing Alonso and then what would happen with Vlad and all this other stuff. It doesn't sound like he's going to go back to New York, and they had offered him a 3-year, like 75, 72, something like that, million-dollar deal. And he declined that. But yeah, I'll be interested to see kind of where he ends up signing and what that value is for. Because in my opinion, if you can get him, like you said, for like $18 million, that's a steal of a deal. Mm-hmm. I just don't know if it'll be able to happen.
I think it could. So I'll dig into what I did. I took notes, so I'm cheating here. Because if I were to rip off the top of my head, maybe ADHD would kick in and I'd just go on a tangent completely off script. First of all, I want to say, because this is not on my list and I will forget, the whole hitting oppo thing with Julio, as we saw it transpire and we saw kind of like mid-season, it was starting to be corrected. But I mean, I look at who's in charge of our batting, the hitting coach, our president of hitting operations or whatever we're calling him, Edgar Martinez. What did he do? A lot. Oppo. So bring in Pete Alonso in. Like, I completely understand with what you're saying there as far as opposite power, maybe not being there as much, less home runs. And then of course we have kind of a guy who his entire career was hitting oppo. And I mean, that's even Ichiro, and you know, he's in the Hall of Fame. So we're pretty good at it. Maybe we can get better. And then of course, right field being a better place, a better direction to hit at T-Mobile Park. So maybe that'll help. And we all saw in the playoffs that Pete Alonso can hit oppo home runs off of the best closers, even though they're tipping their pitches, he can. So, you know, it's a possibility. I just wanted to hit on that. So that is a concern. I completely understand that. I never thought of it before until today, until you said something. So that's always food for thought. The big thing, though, as far as getting Pete Alonso for that amount of money for 18.5 AAV, I don't see why it can't happen now, because Santander signs 5 years, 92.5 mil. We're not going to, I don't think we're going to hold ourselves to 5 years of Pete Alonso. We could, I guess, because then he would leave the Mariners at the same age as Walker at this point.
He'd be 34 going to his age 35 season, I think.
Yeah. So,
something like that.
So relatively similar, and you're getting the younger years of a first baseman who's not great defensively, but you know, he's a bat, and you need a bat right now. It's so bad. But also consider that 92.5 mil at 18.5 AAV, it's the sixth largest signing of this offseason. And that's for 44 home runs and the third most home runs in three seasons from Santander. That's what a player is going for. I understand he's outfield, but that's the level of bat that you're going for. And Santander is not defensive first, which was why I was kind of surprised the Blue Jays got him. But I think they saw how desperate it was going to be, because they couldn't sign anybody. So they had to show, we're going to get some offense so they can sign other people or spend money and then know how much they have left over to extend Vlad. But that's kind of the next thing I want to roll into. It's like, there's no Vladdy extension. There's no money being offered to Vladdy. And I don't think they're going to until Pete Alonso signs, because he's that top tier market guy that everybody was talking about going into this offseason. It was him and Christian Walker, but everybody thought Alonso was the big name because they made playoffs. Mm-hmm. He did that amazing hit against Devin Williams. And that really, I think, is that pivoting point. They made him an offer, but of course, Vladdy's like, nah, I want 100 mil more. And I think they're just kind of like, let's see what's going on with Pete Alonso first. Because this is like, we don't think the first basemen are worth as much anymore, clearly. Mm-hmm. And there wasn't that many options. Then you look at Walker, he signed 20 mil AAV for 3 years.
Yeah.
Like, these are not, like, these are not large contracts for first basemen. So on top of that, the Red Sox can't move Casas. Like, they tried with us. We said no because we don't want to take on Yoshida. So either way, the blanket statement is like, Casas can't be moved. And then you look at Goldschmidt getting signed. I understand he's old as hell. Like, no offense, Paul Goldschmidt. Like, love you to death, bud. But, you know, he didn't sign for much either. I don't have that exact number up, but he didn't get signed for much. Of course, his age, that makes sense. I think it was fair for what the Yankees paid for him. Weird decision to go with him, but nonetheless, they did. On top of that, like, Walker's signing was the second most, well, so far, the most expensive signing of the year for first baseman. And it's the 16th contract, like the 16th most expensive contract signed this year. And he's the highest for a first baseman. So, and that's only 3 years. And he's, what, 5 years older than Pete Alonso?
Yeah.
So, and he's way better defensively than Alonso. So you have that extra piece, that whole other half of what you're paying for is going towards the defensive side of things. On top of that, like, he's only played 100, Walker, he's only played 100, or sorry, was it Walker or was it Pete Alonso? I think it was Walker. Walker only played 126 games last year, and he had 26 home runs. And the 2 years before that, he played a full season and put up 33 homers and 36 home runs, which is very much on par with Pete Alonso. And he was slashing 251, a 335, and a 468 average. His OPS was 819, which is obviously where you'd expect Pete Alonso. He didn't perform that way last year. Now, Alonso, he hit 34 home runs, so 10 less than Santander, and then 8 more than Walker, but he played 35 more games. So they basically had the same war, and their strikeouts were about, were significantly more for Alonso, but Walker, the last 3 years, he's had consistently like the same amount of strikeouts. He had 131, 127, 133. Those are all the strikeouts for the last 3 years, while Pete Alonso had 172 last year, which is probably the reason why there's a little bit of a hang up, because that's the most he's ever had. And it's like, whoa, are you really going to start striking out a lot more? Like, you're hitting ground balls, but you're also striking out a lot more than other guys. So more reason for his value just not to be really ridiculously higher than everybody else. Okay, but my point, I guess I should say, this is why the Mets are saying no. Like, they're potentially going to pay more than Walker and Santander for what?
Yeah, like, what's the purpose?
Why are we paying him just at this point? Is it PR? Because that's the only reason. And on top of that, they're like, why do we have to like appease him? Because we gave him a qualifying offer. So if somebody else wants to go accept that offer, they also have to lose a draft pick.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like, I think to a lot of teams, not a non-starter, but that's like something you have to like sit with, like, okay, where are we in this draft? And then think about those teams that actually need a first baseman. Most of those teams really want their draft pick, and they got a high draft pick, so they don't want to have to give it up. So I guess my point is that if more than ever, especially with the Santander signing, the Mariners, as dumb as they are, that not exactly the front office, but I would just say the organization as a whole, because they don't want to spend money and they don't see what the Dodgers are doing right now. That's proving that they're going to make a shit ton of money if they just sign big names.
Mm-hmm.
If they realize that, then bringing in Pete Alonso is going to up your sales. You're going to make more profits. And at this point, you're going to be able to sign him for less than what you would have as soon as the offseason began. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. The other factor, of course, is Boris. And I think Boris also knows the situation that they're in. And maybe that's a factor of making him pay more money. But at the same time, I have a possible thought that he might just be like, well, okay, my hands are tied because the Mets aren't going to budge. And I'd rather go to a team that's going to pay a little bit less, but are going to work with me on a deal and lay out for me why this is not going to work for us, because there's too many factors that just make Pete Alonso's value drop, especially on the current market. What do you guys think?
Go ahead.
I think that the way that this, the offseason specifically, not just Alonso, but just in general, has played out for the Mariners in terms of guys like Alonso or Santander or whatever, taking this long and seeing their value drop, that's exactly the kind of offseason the Mariners needed to happen.
Exactly.
They needed the players that were at the top end of the market, like Alonso, to stay on there this late so that their value would start dropping. The problem is, now are the Mariners going to take advantage of that? We'll have to wait and see, obviously. But I think that when it comes to his contract, something the Mariners could and probably should do is something I want to say it was Ben Ranieri that posted it, but I could be wrong. It might have been Jage. That he should just give him a 3 or 4 year deal with an opt out after every single year. That way, if he hits the hell out of the ball, great. He can go be a free agent again and make, you know, $30 million a year. But until then, at least if he has that opt out every single year, and maybe you save yourself with a buyout, with like a $5 million buyout is in there as well. Like, it's a very, very player friendly contract for the Mariners and for Alonso. And I think that there might be some merit to that, because based on the contract that we saw from the Mets, I don't necessarily know what it is that he's going to be looking for in terms of a deal at this point in the offseason. It's getting late. Spring training starts in a couple of weeks and he still doesn't have a deal. Like, Bregman's still out there. Like, these guys, I really feel like, are going to have to start taking shorter term deals. And it's not like these guys had super down years. A lot of times we'll see guys who get on the free agent market hoping for like a 3-4 year deal, but then end up having to sign a 1 year deal because they just played like crap last year. That's not necessarily the case for these guys. And that's what I think is so interesting about what we've seen the Dodgers do, for example, is they found these guys, they signed whoever the hell they want. It doesn't matter. And when you're near a team like the Mariners, you look at Alonso, Bregman, you're like, how do we get to that point? And there just really isn't a very clear avenue, but if they're taking shorter term deals, that's the best chance you're going to get. So I think that's something the Mariners should take advantage of.
Do you think they should backload these contracts? Like, it's, hey, prove it deal. And then the next year it's like, yeah, you can go on free agency, but hey, we'll give you $25 million a year the next couple of years. Cause it's like, you know, we want you. Like, that might be more enticing. Do you think that would be possible though? Like, given,
I, Yeah, I think it's possible. I don't necessarily know with the way arbitration is going to be going with like Logan and Cal and George, if that would be the best mm-hmm. idea for the Mariners specifically, yeah. because let's say he does decide to not take his opt out. And now you have Pete Alonso's contract on your books. Do you have to start thinking about trading one of your starting pitchers just to, because you're not going to be able to afford them an arbitration, which sucks. And I don't want to, obviously Luis is the one we all would prefer to get traded. I love the guy, but just his contract. Mm-hmm. I think that there's a lot of nuance to it, and it could all be solved super easily by just upping the budget. And then we wouldn't have to have these stupid conversations, but here we are every single year having this same conversation.
Because, it's giving us content, okay?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's true. But I'm like, oh, dude, like all of this could yeah. be avoided if John Stanton just wasn't a tightwad, truly.
Yeah. And I don't know if you guys saw my post. I left a comment on Twitter or X. It's I'll probably get in trouble for it. We'll see. But I left I was like, hey, instead of everybody bitching about, you know, John Stanton on all these platforms where he's not paying attention, like, here's all the ways to contact him.
Oh, and, yeah.
And so I put up, you know, his where to send mail to the board of directors for Costco, for Columbia Outwear, for Microsoft, for T-Mobile. Ironic investing there, hey, you think? And then like all I'm getting is comments are like, holy crap, how does this guy not have any money? Like, this dude's a board director of major multi-billion dollar corporations, board member, like directors. Mm-hmm. So we all know it's bullshit. And I don't know if anybody sent anything. I just hope nobody like shits in a box and sends it to us. It's like, all right. I mean, I hope you don't, but you know, do as you will.
Yeah, don't do that.
Don't do that. Yeah. So it's just like, yeah, simply spending more money would be great. And I don't understand where their business perspective. Now, granted, it's coming from me, so maybe I don't know what I'm talking about. Maybe we all don't know what we're talking about as far as owning and directing, being CEOs of major corporations. But I guess then in that case, neither do the Dodgers, right? Because I thought spend money. Yeah. Where are we missing something? And I personally think it's just risk. Like, mm-hmm. is it just like, oh, well, we don't want to lose our profit margin by 200 mil because, you know, they're making way more than that. We don't want to miss that by spending this much. Like, we'd rather just play it safe and we have a good guy who can feed us hope. His name's Jerry, and he'll feed hope to the fans and they'll still come and, you know, we'll be fine. We'll just continue with what we got because that's what matters to us versus like Ken Kendricks with the Diamondbacks who is like, I got no money left and I got
hate the Jordan Montgomery contract.
I hate Jordan Montgomery. God. That was stupid of me. I shouldn't have never spent that money. And then they're like, by the way, we don't have a way to broadcast our games next season. By the way, we need to do renovations because our stadium is falling apart. By the way, we're stuck with this terrible contract from Jordan Montgomery and we don't think anybody's going to take him. So it's like, crap, what do we do? And then
Corbin Burns start a GoFundMe.
Exactly. They should. They should. At this point, they probably get some money back. I'll be honest. Cause Corbin Burns is like,
I want to go there.
Hey, yeah. Hey, would you take me for 210? And he's just like, oh, we don't have that, but yeah, come on.
Sure. Why not?
Like, come on. Like, we'll take it. Like, I'll sign me up. I don't need a move. I'm here. And mm-hmm. it's like, they don't have, like, the Diamondbacks don't have money. They're in a worse position than we are. Significantly worse. It is not as rich of a city as Seattle is. It's getting to a point where it's like, and I'm going to say this and you're going to probably leave, but I'm starting to bandwagon with the Dodgers. I'm so excited to see them sign Pete Alonso, Ha-Sung Kim, oh, Alex God. Bregman, grab them all. And then the next 5 years, win every single World Series. And that will be like, shit, nobody's watching any team but the Dodgers. And we're not making any money. Like, we got to do something about this. Hey, ownership. Hey, John Stanton, Chris Larson. Do something or we're going to fine your ass for not contributing to your teams. That's where I'm at this point. It's like, you know what? There's no way the fan base can pressure ownership of any team, even the Rockies, even though that's a weird organization. But the fans can't pressure owners to do what they want, because the simplicity of it is that if you don't go, they don't make money. If they don't make money, they move the team or they sell it to someone who might take it somewhere else. And mm-hmm. nobody wants that. So we're all in this kind of like John Fisher situation where it's like you boycott and then you lose your team. So I that's another next thing I would like to bring up, because I think Colton, you recorded a video about boycotting and like how it doesn't work, because that's exactly what I'm explaining. Like, yeah, even though at this point I feel like fans are just like, yeah, this is stupid. Like the diehard fans, the ones paying attention to all of this, like you and me.
Yeah. And the way that I described it in that video is, why would they decide to just, oh, all of a sudden there's no one here, let's start spending? Like, no. Like, when did that work in the past 20 years? Like, the Mariners had some of the lowest attendance numbers in baseball there for a while in, like, the 2010s. Mm-hmm. The Mariners didn't start spending. I mean, yeah, sure, like, Robinson Cano came in. Different ownership at the time, different GM at the time.
Like the Nintendo instead of Xbox.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, but yeah, in that video, I talked about how, like, am I going to boycott the team? No. I that's my favorite place to be. I love being at T-Mobile Park. Am I going to spend less money? Yes. I'm absolutely going to spend less money at the stadium this year. I canceled my Flex membership. I'm not paying the $1,100, which is double what it was when they started it in 2020.
Insane. And you mentioned Kent Hendricks, like, every single game, $299.
That's 81 home games.
And they just spent $210 million on a pitcher. One guy. Double the cost. Two Castillos.
Two of them.
Two of them. And yet, they're like, hey, like, how many, okay, because I haven't bought one, but how many games do you get with the Flex?
As many as that money will go towards. So think of the Flex membership as like a gift card.
Okay.
So if you spend that $1,100, you just use that to buy tickets. You could buy 2 tickets by known play, or you could buy 20 tickets out in the bleachers. Like, so it's just like, depends on how you
get. You get 3 or 2 Diamond Club games,
and
that's it.
And then you're done.
Yeah. And then you're pretty much done. Oh my God, that's insane. Like, how much money do they, like, I don't get it. I really don't get it. I would love to just see exactly what this money's going to, but it's like, the problem is, like I was saying, like, if you give them more money, they just pocket it. You know what I mean? And that's the part that hurts the most about this whole thing is like, I wish that the Mariner fan base could collectively, and this would never happen in a million years because we're all probably just as bad as Staten in our own ways, but independent trust fund, where it's everybody buys into this trust and that amount of money goes to the players, but nobody goes to a game. There's no purchasing of Fanatics gear, no going to the baseball. It's like, we're like John Sand, you get nothing, but hey, players, contact us. We have a paycheck for you to play. And it's like, you literally play for the city at that point. And we just kind of like, they just show up because they're under contract to play at T-Mobile Park, but it's just empty. And like, that would be the biggest like cutthroat thing. It obviously would never happen. That's like something out of a movie, but, but it's like, I kind of wish it was like, that was an option that we could just, we could be there to support our team and not have to rely on somebody else who's just going to take our money and give it to whatever they want. Like, oh, T-Mobile's doing bad this month. Like, it's okay. We'll just take the fans' money and throw it to that to keep that business going or whatever they do. I have no idea. But or we should just sell out the bleachers only and bring signs that they can't put on TV. So
I like that idea.
I mean, I don't know I mean, you guys also did a video about the Donovan Solano, which I have one. I just haven't posted it because I wanted to get some more input and some ideas, and I'll run it past you guys as well. The Donovan Solano signing. I like Solano, and I'm also like, I went to a lot of Petco games. So I'm a Padres fan as well. That's like my second team. I went to a ton of games down there. So seeing Donovan Solano playing there, what he was able to do when he was on the field, I was impressed with it. He always came out clutch, even though he didn't play every single game. And then when Machado was out, he filled in that role the way he should. I respect him as a player, and I really like him in Seattle. Whether or not that's going to translate, I have no idea. San Diego weathers, nice. And here, not so much. So, but is this the possibility and I'm kind of feeding this video a little bit. Well, the video is going to come out before this one, so I guess we're okay. But the idea of maybe this is a team building strategy, maybe because we have Dan Wilson coming in as a manager, and we have Edgar Martinez in helping with hitting, and Ichiro is still around. Of course, congrats to him getting into the Hall of Fame. He is still around the organization and doing all that stuff. Look at that 2001 team that won 116 games. They had three power bats that hit double-digit home runs. Granted, Brett Boone was like 37, but still. The whole team, except for... Yeah, well, maybe we could do that too. But like, if we were to design this team back 24 years ago, where it is not the power bat thing, it's a Japanese MPB concept of high batting average, high on base percentage. Not exactly the money ball thing is exact, like not exactly like that, but what we had, because it worked in at the time Safeco, and that was the second year that stadium was around. Look how well it worked. And yet we've seemed to stray away from that. As soon as we hit 2010s, like batting averages have never been really that great, that high, that consistent. Home runs are never really that big. I mean, Cano and Nelson Cruz did great, boomstick, and that's what everybody praised about. But 2001, everybody was hitting over 260. Everyone was hitting over 260. I understand pitching has changed a lot. They weren't throwing 100 miles an hour, but that doesn't mean that players these days, like Solano, like Julio, can hit over 260 against these pitchers. Maybe this is the beginning. Maybe this is the mindset of the front office, like maybe we should switch, maybe we should go back to what worked here, and it's just a matter of finding those players. And that could even be like Ha-Seong Kim. I don't care if he's out for a month or two, I really don't. If he's able to come back, be a gold glove defensive, and hit over 250 or 240 these days, that's still better than our Mitch Garber 176. What do you guys think on that?
I think like with the player like talent kind of like identification. And they've talked a little bit about it, like how they've kind of changed their thought process and how they go about identifying those players, because it's been rough the last couple of years outside of Luke Rayleigh and Victor Robles. Like those have been like the two, like the heartbeats of the front office being able to identify good talent offensively. And if Donovan Solano is someone that fits into that mold of a 280 batter that's not going to hit for a ton of power, but will put the ball in play. And you're saying how like you brought it up earlier too, with like Edgar and the just like overall retooling of the coaching staff as far as like hitting is concerned, that can lend, and I think this is like the idea behind it, or like what I'm hoping is the case, of it will lend to a more productive offense, less strikeouts, less boom or bust. Like there is more opportunity for run scoring opportunities, because not everyone's striking out, not everyone's bailing out for home runs all the time. If they can commit to that, and how you're saying, like taking the offense back 24 years and trying to get everyone to hit over 260. And yeah, the game has changed immensely since that time. There's so much more data out there, and people that are, you know, anti-sabermaticians might be like, yeah, advanced stats ruin baseball, blah, blah, blah. And like, if that's the case and Edgar gets us back to, because all he does is just hit the ball up the middle, see the fastball, hit the ball up the middle. And like, that works. Like there was an interview, I think Julio did. I think, I can't remember who brought it up. Kicking Dirt, I think, posted originally, and then Couch GM Connor posted it because he transcribed it from English using software. Doesn't matter. But it's talking about like Edgar's impact on Julio and like what helped him get back to like doing well. And that shift happened in the middle of the season, and more so at the end of the season when Julio came back, of like what he was able to do offensively. It's just like his approach at the plate. If they can figure out who and what will work, that's amazing. And that should be the goal every single year. And it's not to say that they haven't tried that. It just hasn't worked. And there's a little bit of discourse around like how the Cassis conversations fell through. We did a deep dive on Cassis and we found that he wouldn't work in this ballpark. It's like, okay, 90% of the batters you've acquired haven't worked in this ballpark either. So like, what's different about it now? And not to say that we need to sit here and wait more, because everyone's pretty much tired of waiting. But I think if you can kind of identify what Solano is good at, is hitting the ball up the middle, a very just contact laden bat, a professional hitter similar to Justin Turner, who posted like a 122 OPS plus in his time with Seattle in like 40 some odd games. Like there are people that can still be successful. Available. He's still available. Sure. If they don't get Alonso for, you know, 18 and a half, 20 some odd million, whatever, go sign Justin Turner for 8 or 9 or 10, whatever. Something that will improve the offense in some capacity. Like there's room for growth, and hopefully that they are understanding the tools that they already have in place with Cal, who ran a very high strikeout percentage, but did hit 30 home runs and drove in 100 RBI. Like, yes, a very productive offensive bat, but he's good at hitting home runs. He's good at slugging. Mm-hmm. Not everyone has to be good at slugging. If everyone was, sure, that's amazing. Then you're going to have the best offense in baseball. But you can only have so many like guys that are going to post a 27% strikeout rate and above without that causing problems offensively. Like there needs to be balance. And I think Solano is a step in the right direction. A cheap one, one that I like, but I understand why people might not be in love with the idea that like that's like an answer for the Mariners offensively. But I think that there's definitely, or it's a sign for better talent acquisition to come, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think it was the ultimate and the genuinely best option and alternative to Luis Arraez.
Mm-hmm.
I think that he is Luis Arraez, older, and his controller doesn't die when he's at the plate, where he just stands there and it's like, are you there? But he's not going to hit as many hits as Luis Arraez, you know.
No,
but for $10 million less, I'm okay with it. And if he slaps the ball around like he did in San Diego, and he produces, let's say the same as Victor Robles, and hopefully Victor Robles comes back and performs again. I don't know, but you know, maybe this is just where he loved to be and wanted to be. I know that he had some conflict with the coaching staff and DC. There was some like, I know that morale and just being around a clubhouse, it plays a big ass role, and people don't see it, and we don't get to see it. And then reporters see it, and then they give their like little hints here and there, but they don't want to say too much because they don't want to stir up problems. And then, you know, so there's a lot of behind the scenes that we don't know about. And I'm wondering if that played, and I think that did, in fact, play a big difference to him coming to Seattle and then just being able to be himself. Like, hell, he was on the field, mic'd up, and he's talking about his monkeys. Like,
yeah. But, incredible content. Incredible.
Like,
the best, like honestly, the best game last season, without a doubt in my mind. The one I had the most fun watching was Sunday Night Baseball. Granted, it kind of spurned like the death of the Mariners immediately after, kind of a vibe, because that was like the last high of the season. But
yeah,
irregardless of that, it was I didn't get the memo.
Yeah, you were supposed to drink at the same time.
I'm sorry. I didn't get the memo. I was still talking.
In the middle of your sentence.
Normally people don't talk while they're drinking water. Like,
just stop while you're talking and take a drink and then continue.
Yeah.
It's a power move. It's a power move. That's what it is.
It really is.
I
just don't want the logo showing, so that's why I'm drinking this way.
Mm. I think that Solano was the ultimate move for a team that has no money to spend. Solano was the perfect budget option for the Mariners. And I mentioned in that Solano video as well, it's the perfect like third or fourth move of the offseason. If he's the third or fourth best bat you add, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Problem is you're kind of running out of options. And so, yeah, I think Solano makes a lot of sense. I think that no people wouldn't have been as mad if it had happened after a few other signings.
Who do you think as of right now, we're recording this on January 22nd. This will probably come out the day after tomorrow, but third or fourth best bat. Let's just say the third best bat, because I don't want to get our hopes up and act like it's going to be any better, but who's the one and two that you see right now that are still available?
Okay. Number one, does it have to be a signing or can it be a trade? Is that fine?
Trades get very interesting because there's a million options that can be out there. Trade without losing Castillo. How about that?
He's got to make it difficult on me, huh? Okay.
Well, I mean, you said it yourself. You don't want to see Castillo go.
Right. True.
So I want to play to what you would like to see.
I think that Nico Horner is still an option if the Cubs sign Alex Bregman. Now, are they able to do that without Luis Castillo in that deal? I'm not sure. I don't know if the Cubs are still looking to add pitching or not. But maybe they'd start being willing to take something else other than pitching at that point. But
were they in on Roki?
Who's that? The Cubs?
Yeah.
They were. They were told they were out on it pretty early, though, I believe.
Pretty early. But they haven't signed anybody else.
I feel like they're what, like the final like eight, like in that group.
Yeah. They signed, who did they sign so far this year? They signed Matt Boyd, right?
They traded for Kyle Tucker, obviously.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They lost some pitching depth there by trading Hayden Wesneski. Mm-hmm. But like it's nothing. Yeah, it's nothing to like really like lose that much sleep over. Like Imanaga, Justin Steele.
You know, this reminds me, before I forget, there's one more pitcher available in the international signing in Japan. I'm trying to remember who it is.
It's a left-hander that like doesn't throw very hard. I don't remember his name off the top of my head though. Cause like
Jamie Moyer.
Yeah, exactly. Sugano signed with the Orioles.
Yeah.
He's like a short lefty that doesn't throw very hard. And I don't remember his name off the top of my head either, but he was like,
type this up.
He was ranked roughly around the same area as Sugano, if that helps, as far as like trade rumors, free agent prediction stuff was concerned. But there's a lot of concern around his velocity. And I think his last year in the NPB, like wasn't overwhelmingly successful as far as like just overall pitching success, just like in general. But if I don't know, like, I don't know if like his market has completely just fell off or where that's at.
Yeah. And some of them are really old. So like Sugano, like he's 37, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't even know how to search this up. This is a weird way of searching. Is this even, that's 2024.
Yeah. I don't see it anywhere.
I found it somewhere. I just don't know where I found it. Roki Sasaki, Sugano, Hyesung Kim. Oh, is it Ogasawara?
Yep.
Oh yeah, Ogasawara however you say that.
That's the man.
Yeah. Let me try this.
Shigetoshi Hasegawa, right? That's
Shinosuke Ogasawara. That was starting pitcher. Terrible stats. He hit 5 wins, 11 losses, 144 innings pitched. That's good, though. He's pitched at least 144 innings. A 3.12 ERA, 5 Ks per 9, 1.4 walks per 9.
Well, he doesn't strike people out, I think, is the thing, right?
That's the 5.1 Ks per 9. Yeah, but still.
82 strikeouts in 144 innings.
Yeah, 3.12 ERA, though. Like, that's a solid number 5 for us. You know, that's a solid. Yeah. He's 27 left-hander. We don't have a left-hander started pitching. I don't know. I'm just thinking of like, what is this an option that the Cubs might go, or could the Mariners look at that if they were to do a trade? I cut you off though, so go ahead. Continue what you were saying as far as the number 1 and 2 bats that we could get.
Yeah, I think that Horner is potentially an option, and yeah, I think that there are guys that the Cubs definitely could sign that are left for sure, and they honestly probably should sign some of them. Joe, I want you to do number 2 because I did, or 1 if you have a better idea.
I have a question about Horner because he's probably going to miss the first month of the season, right? Like, he might not be ready.
Yeah, that was the latest report that came out.
His surgery.
Again, I don't care about that.
Our first. If he plays 100 games, 110 games, whatever,
that's more games than you didn't get every single year at the beginning of the season. It doesn't matter to me. Like, let everybody warm up. And then after April, let's go.
Then it'll figure it out. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Why not? Like, we were hot last season for like 2 months, putting us 10 games ahead. And then happy birthday, the 20th of June for me. They stopped playing.
Oh, no.
I was so happy. And then the next day the next 2 months, I was like, oh, okay. Like, that was a gift. It wasn't like serious. It was just like, here you go. No, we're gonna take it away. But yeah, I mean, so let's just say Nico Horner, and we're going to assume that we're gonna give up prospects.
There may be some like quad A guys. I don't know who they'd be interested in. I don't have a good finger on the pulse of that.
It might help though now that we have 7 top 100 and the most
true
Like that might be more appealing. I understand that nobody's looking for prospects right now, but maybe the Cubs are because they did spend so much money and because they do have Matt Shaw coming up and he's not going to be a prospect anymore. So he fills in at second or fills in at third or Bush goes somewhere and you have Kyle Tucker in the outfield and say Suzuki's staying. So maybe he's just permanent DH for now. So positively looking at things and the way things evolve, like there could be something there as far as getting prospects because they're kind of bleeding. They have Kevin Alcantara is like their top guy that they're waiting to come up and there's nowhere to put him. So maybe there's, I don't know, but
like reloading the farm for the Cubs could help them like long-term, just like as far as like building out a longer window of success, especially if it's guys that are closer to the MLB level. Like they just got rid of Matt Mervis. Do they need another one in Tyler Locklear in that sense of like a first baseman who is on the brink of making major league, like breaking major league camp and making major league impact? Could they use Tyler Locklear's services? Like, do the Mariners really need him? Like, it's really hard to say like what the Cubs would want. And like, you're talking about like prospects graduating, like PCA is graduated now. Like the Cubs farm system is getting worse and worse every single year just because like they're utilizing it, but it's also people are graduating at the same time. Yeah. So like if the Mariners could want to like retool their prospect system in return of major league talent like Nico Horner, that's not a bad idea necessarily. And if the Cubs want to try and sustain it, it shouldn't be a bad idea from them either. I think another team that is definitely in a weird spot as far as where they deem themselves competitively, but also I know, and a lot of people know, that they don't want to spend any money is the Minnesota Twins. And Willie Castro has been a guy that's been talked about a fair amount, a versatile utility man that can not only just fill in a couple spots for you in the infield, but can also play the outfield. If you wanted to, you can just DH him every so often, like put up an above OPS, like above 100 OPS plus, I think the last couple of years, like he's getting paid like $4 million in arbitration this year. Like
how many more years does he have?
This would be his last year, I'm pretty sure. So you'd get him for one year.
Yeah, it's a one thing.
I've likened it before to the Jorge Polanco trade with the Twins, where you guys gotta stop.
We're weirding me out, Chad. I don't know.
You guys are locked in over here. It's kind of crazy.
I'm not even looking at you guys, and then take a second. I'm just like, oh my god,
we're doing it again.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, you're fine. So obviously, the Mariners swung a trade with the Twins last offseason for Jorge Polanco. It was a 1-for-4 swap. Obviously, there's some like dead parts in there that you could say that like did it really have an impact in like the trade value? Like Di Scalfani didn't pitch. I mean, Gabigan's sucked. Yeah, it's a null. Yes, exactly. Like that's probably the worst part is that you owed Jorge Polanco $12 million last year.
Yeah,
like that's the big hangup, and is, you know, acquiring another player from the Twins, like are we just running down that same path again? I don't think it'd be a 1-for-4. I'd probably go like a 1-for-3 swap for Willie Castro in this situation where Colton, we've talked about it before, but I like the idea of giving them Dom Canzone in this situation because Dom Canzone's kind of run out of a roster spot for the Mariners. And if he just can go to a place and maybe get like 300 ABs in a season, could be good for his value long-term just to see what he actually has in the major league tank. Dom Canzone, like a top, like, 12-ish prospect and then like a bullpen arm. And I would happily take Willie Castro from the Twins and plug him into the like utility man, Swiss Army knife role for the Mariners, where it's an everyday situation where you're not having to roll out like Ryan Bliss, like for 350, 400 at bats. Same thing with Dylan Moore. Like what it does is it raises the floor, but also gives you a higher ceiling for other guys to be successful in very specific spots, which the Mariners have shown a pretty decent capacity at finding those guys like Sam Haggerty, where he could only see, is it left-handed pitching? It's been so long since Sam Haggerty's been good at baseball for me that whatever platoon he was,
Yeah. Sure, right? So yeah.
It's like the whichever like strong side platoon, whatever one he was successful at. I mean, Dylan Moore, he's not good against right-handed batters because he's right-handed. Shock. Like, it gives those players who tend to get exposed more, less opportunities to get exposed if you just raise the floor while simultaneously raising the ceiling of your team by getting a guy like Willie Castro. I would say he's probably the second behind Nico Horner, Like Castro's not as good as Nico Horner. You'd probably get him for a fuller season if you want to count that. But if I had to guess like who would be more valuable at the end of the year, it would be Nico Horner in a lot of aspects. But like if your offensive upgrades going into 2025 are Nico Horner, Willy Castro, and Donovan Solano, I'd say you'd had a pretty good successful offseason at trying to retool certain aspects of your team that you saw were holes in 2024, because Horner and Solano are both contact first guys that don't strike out. Castro, he does strike out a decent amount, but there's, if you get two out of your three guys are contact first, non-striking out guys, you can probably afford to add another guy into that rotation of players that has a bit more pop, has a bit more like ability to slug the ball and do a little bit more damage. It's nothing crazy with Willy Castro. He had a 717 OPS last year, but it's not going to be a terrible addition, in my opinion, if they were to go get him.
Yeah,
it's
wanted to look up his splits. Sorry, go ahead. I just wanted to see what they were.
It's not the sexiest offseason, if those were the three moves that you make, but you have drastically changed the length of your lineup by adding Horner, Castro, and Solano. Now, I don't want to say that, you know, this is going to be a team that would win 100 games. Sure. But adding those guys compared to the, you know, everybody striking out, not being able to move. How many times last year did we just need to put the ball in play? And it just didn't happen. These guys put the ball in play. And I think that if you do that, you have a lot of versatility, a lot of options. You basically added two more Dylan Moores as well in this to have maybe hit the ball a little bit more often than he does. Don't strike out as much. I think that that's how valuable Dylan Moore was in 2024, no matter how I want to see it, how valuable he was in 2024, adding a few more guys like that, I think would help this team a lot. And if Julio can get it figured out, if Cal can just keep doing what he's doing, if Garver has, I mean, Garver can't be as bad as he was last year, right?
No way. Surely not.
Surely not. So it's like, yeah, there's definitely, by looking at the team that we would build there, definitely some room for improvement, but also it feels a lot more sustainable than what we saw last season.
Yeah, it sounds, I mean, just pulling this up, I was just looking at it. So I'm assuming you'd put Willy Castro at third, or would you put him at second and platoon him with Dylan Moore because he can actually hit righties versus Moore can probably hit lefties?
I don't think it has to be like a strict, like he's playing one spot, like
just move him around as you need. But I mean, who else are you throwing out there? Because I mean, Solano, I guess, would be first or third because you don't really want he doesn't much range, right?
Yeah, I think like if you're looking at it from, you're talking about like versus right-handed pitching because you're not playing Dylan Moore and you're not playing Ryan Bliss.
Yeah,
who's playing third base? Either, I mean, I would honestly say Solano's probably better at third than at second for me personally. Because I think you want someone with more range over at second to help with Luke Raley, who is a non-natural first baseman. Like he is an outfielder. Yes, he's a very gifted athletic person, but first base, he looked like a baby cow sometimes where he's just kind of stomping around, doesn't really know what he's doing a lot. And that's okay because he was put into a position, he was put into a role that he probably wasn't expected to play a ton in 2024.
Like, it's funny you say stomping around because every time, because that's exactly the verbiage I would use. The way he runs, it's just
he is the most emphatic runner I've ever seen in my entire life, and seeing I commend him for it.
And I think it was a service that said like he did a great job out there. Whatever he does, it's not pretty, but he gets the job done.
Yeah,
it's great. I really love Luke Real. I think that was a great pickup last season. I praise the Mariners for that. For that pickup. I don't know what the Rays were thinking. I mean, anytime I see also, and I'm not trying to, again, I hate the Dodgers, but I will give them props. If you see a prospect that came up through their system, it doesn't matter what team he's with, it got traded to, he had some good development time while he was with the Dodgers because they know how to develop players. And look at what he's turning into. At least last season was great. Whether or not he can repeat it, that's the biggest issue, I think, is that last year, all the guys that did really good, like you mentioned, it's like the first year they did really good, you know? Mm-hmm. So whether or not it's going to translate next season or not, I don't know. I'm hoping Solano will bring what he did last season, although he's been pretty consistent, will bring it to Seattle. Mm-hmm. But I do like the guys you mentioned. Like, I never really considered Willie Castro because I was like, I don't know if they're gonna want to move him because I know they're trying to get rid of Correa. They're trying to offload money because of the sell of the team. So it's like, I feel like this would be really hard to do. And then when you mentioned Nico Horner, he's what, 16 mil contract?
Closer to 12.
Yeah.
12. Okay. Mm-hmm. So it would be manageable, but with the money that's left over at this point, because I was thinking like, you're going to have to give somebody with a larger contract and we just don't have any of those. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I do like that. I mean, it fills the holes that we need. And then hopefully Luke Raley can get better defensively at first, but I didn't see, and I could be wrong, but kind of missed a lot of the games towards the end because I just got so upset. But like, I didn't see him do terrible there. Like, I saw him dig, you know, pick balls. I saw him, you know, range out and know what he needed to do. And he's a big guy. So mm-hmm. you throw over his head, like, you really suck. It's not a matter of like, oh, it's a small target. So, I mean, I like this. I like this a lot. As far as these two guys, I think that'd be good. Whether or not they're going to do it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's the big question.
but right now it's like they look terrible. And I think it reached a national media thing because you guys mentioned in a previous video that they've officially been outspent by every team in the AL West by a lot. The Angels are outspending you. Not too big of a surprise. If the A's are outspending you and they are not going to a big stadium where they can bring in 20,000 fans for revenue and they're outspending you by like, I mean, at this point, 65, 70. No, they just, how much was LeKirk signed for?
I think 10, when you're 10.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Almost 80 million more than you. Bro. Like,
it's embarrassing. Like, the team that is literally relocating, and yes, it's likely due to some sort of issue with like MLB and like issuing them some
the
sort
association.
Of association. Like, yeah. Just kind of like, hey, you actually need to kind of like spend some of your money. Mm-hmm. Like, you need to do that. You need to run a payroll over blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, that's definitely like impacting some of the decision making, I think, in that organization. But that doesn't matter. That shouldn't like make it okay that the Mariners are getting outspent by them. Like, the window of contention is so clearly still open for the Mariners. Well, the A's, you could argue it's maybe opening. They've got like some decent young talent. I don't think that they're going to be over 500 next year, but they're definitely a team that, like, if things fall in the right position for them, especially with like the way that they've kind of spent some money, like, they could be a sneaky-ish team that could play spoiler for some, like, in the middle of the season. Like, if you catch them at the wrong time and they're just rolling
hot. And if they
continue
spending too, like,
yeah, like, they don't have to be done necessarily. Yeah. It's just, it's bad. It's bad for the Mariners. It's bad for those mid-market teams. Like, I think a lot of them. I mean, Guardians are a bad example because they just signed Paul Sewald today. Really,
I saw that.
Really big spenders, but I don't know. There's a lot of
teams.
$7 million
too. Good for him.
Yeah. A lot. Yeah. It's a lot for Paul, but I mean, hey, if the Guardians have a really good pitching lab, or I mean, yeah, I mean, if he can join the likes of Class A, Heron, and what's the other guy's name? Cade Smith, another
Smith
guy
is amazing,
and Hunter Gaddis. Yeah, like if he can somehow take some things from them and get back to his ways where he was with Seattle, like, yeah, awesome.
Colton, you should change your last name to Gaddis because you got that vibe, you got that look.
Yeah, I kind of do, huh?
Yeah,
Evan Gaddis look. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Grow the beard out longer.
There you go. Just change your last name. But again, I cut you off. Sorry, I just had to say it because it's like. I was like, holy shit.
It was on the brain.
Yeah. I was like, no, dude, you pitch good.
You could do that. That could be you. I don't know. I just think like getting outspent by the A's, like any team in baseball should be embarrassed. And not just the Mariners. It's kind of what I was getting at. But go A's, I guess.
If they play the way they did the last month of the season last year, all year next year, they're taking the division. Not that they will, but they played amazing. I mean, Butler was insane. Rooker just got paid, so he's going to be happy. They're playing in a AAA field. Like, I don't know how much that's going to change things, but that might be real easy to smack the ball around versus, you know, the Coliseum. Maybe. I don't know. But
when the Blue Jays had to play in, what, Buffalo AAA Stadium, and, like, Vladdy Jr.'s stats were, like, I don't want to feed into that narrative because I think he kind of put that to rest this season. But there was definitely some conversations for a while where, like, they were playing in a AAA stadium. How did that affect their offensive numbers? Were they ballooned in that situation? I could definitely see any games played in Sacramento having a bit more offensive park factor if we're looking at it on Baseball Savant next year.
Could very much. I know you guys need to take off here soon, so I'll just do two couple quick things. I'm strong on a revival idea of a Boston Blue Jays Mariners trade. Especially with Pete Alonso on the books and this Vladdy thing still up in the air. Blue Jays have been very much in the talks when it comes now that they got Santander and they have money. They have the most money. If they were, now that they have Santander and they kind of like, okay, we have money allocated. Pete Alonso's still out there. I bet you they're like thinking, you know, we have the money to give him what he wants with his options. If he just comes up here, and that means that we don't have to extend Vladdy. And maybe that opens the door for Boston to get Vladdy, because they've all been, at least the fan base has all been talking about getting Vladdy. They're obsessed with Vladdy. They're also obsessed with Bregman. They got Bregman and Vladdy. Oh, Yankees. Good luck. Good luck. But if that were to work out, the Mariners might have to give up Luis Castillo. Boston might have to give up Crawford. That's two pitchers right there that the Blue Jays pretty desperately need. Now, there's a video that's literally live right now that's being premiered as we speak that I talk about this a little bit. Blue Jays want pitching. Their pitching looks good by the names. You know the names. You're like, okay, I know Barrios. I know Gosman. I know. You look at their numbers.
They're kind of fizzling out.
Very much. They're coming to the end. So that's two very good pitchers with control. You already get, you let's just say they get Alonso. Boston gets Vladdy, nobody else. But we in return kind of get the strong guys from each of the teams. So I'm talking a third base role, Ernie Clement. He did great last year. I would love to see him play third base in Seattle. Defensively, he's good, and he had a good offensive season. That also means maybe going in and looking at Martinez, their prospect, to come in. He can play it. Yep, he can play. They might be willing to give him up because they're getting two pitchers. They're going to have to give up something. And quite possibly, because Boston doesn't need a first baseman, they send over Cassis to the Mariners. Like, we're talking fill-in roles, third, first, and you're also getting a second base prospect that's coming up that you now have options between Bliss, between Moore, between Solano if you want to, between Cole Young now. You have Martinez. You have five guys that you can just keep seeing who's going to work. And you have permanent things. Like, this would be a dream come true, but it seems to work for everyone.
Yeah, I think that in that scenario, the Mariners might have, I don't know. They may have to give up more than Castillo, not much more, but maybe send something
prospects
Boston's way or something. Yeah,
exactly. Yes, yeah. I've dialed it out. I think I left it for Colby because he mentioned he made a post about the Blue Jays wanting a first baseman. So I wrote it out. But continue what you're saying. Maybe I can find it.
Yeah, no, I think that overall the trade does make sense. And if the Blue Jays end up signing Pete Alonso, then and they just cannot find a way to extend Vladimir Guerrero Jr., which seems like it's been at a standstill now for months.
Yeah,
like, and I honestly, if I'm Toronto, I don't know why the hell you would not extend Vlad and basically just give the guy whatever he wants, because he's gonna be worth a lot of money next offseason. But I think that if you do get Alonso in that scenario, yeah, trade Vladdy, because you're gonna get a ton for him. And I think that in that deal, if you're the Blue Jays and you send him to Boston, who obviously very much wants him, they get to keep Rafi Devers at third base, unless, of course, they sign Bregman. And then moving Cassis, that is something that I think works out really well for both teams there. The Mariners make out like bandits just in terms of getting Cassis, who, in my opinion, still fits the team pretty well.
Yoshida goes to Blue Jays because they need a DH instead of Willie Wagner. That was the other guy that I was talking about, because they want to offload his contract really bad. Blue Jays can afford it. They get a DH.
Does Wagner just move to the bench in that situation, or does he play a position for them?
Trade. Like, I mean, he could play anywhere. He can get traded. The Blue Jays have options with that. They have a lot of guys that are just tradable, but, like, I don't know who would want him. Okay. And Wagner's been moved quite a bit, hasn't he?
He was traded to them in the Kikuchi deal last year.
Okay, yeah. Go ahead. I just... Before I forget.
No, you were figuring it out.
Mm-hmm. There's some other prospects. I'm still looking for that post. God, dude, Colby posts a lot. Colby, stop, dude. Like, I can't even find it. I'm going to go under mine, see if I can...
How we feel about that trade, Joe? What do you think?
I think it... I don't know fully if... Because the Mariners are only giving up Castillo, and then in what we've said so far, if it's prospects and
there's
other things
more,
going...
Yeah.
Yeah. That would definitely, like, help shape it. If you needed to send Ryan Bliss or, like, a Leo Rivas, like, some sort of middle infielder that's not doing a ton for you necessarily to go help the Blue Jays, if you're, like, obviously getting – if you're getting Aurelvis Martinez and Ernie Clement, like, Clement was, like, I think a league average bat last year, but in 2023, in his limited time, he was, like, insane, like, a 140, like, OPS plus, I think, but it was very limited opportunities. Martinez, is he the one that got suspended?
I can't remember if it was him that got the PED suspension, or it was one of the, it was him or
he did? Leo Jimenez. I don't remember.
Yeah, that sounds right.
One of those
guys. Aurelvis, I think you're right. I think it was Aurelvis.
Aurelvis Martinez gets 80 game ban for PEDs. I think he's their, like, top prospect or, like, second prospect.
He's their number two. Yeah.
Number two. He's, like, knocking on the door for them. So, like, if I think what would make more sense for the Blue Jays, because I feel like they'd probably want to keep Martinez, is to, if we're thinking that maybe they're not in love with, like, Will Wagner, I think that could be a guy instead of Martinez, who's not necessarily highly touted and could help offset some of, like, the cost as far as, like, not being so, like, Colton, you said making it out like bandits. Like, I think that there could be some scenarios where maybe we aren't giving up as much as needed, it feels like, in this deal. Because, like, getting Cassis, getting Clement, those are, like, some pretty much everyday, could be everyday guys. Clement's more of, like, a role player. Wagner could fit into that role player as well. But, like, Martinez definitely has the ceiling of a guy that can be every single day. And I don't know if the Blue Jays would want to part with that, given what they're kind of, like, shuffling around with a lot of pieces there for themselves.
I found it.
I see that.
Yeah. So, I was pretty close. So Seattle gets Cassis, Martinez, post PED. So maybe he'll be as bad as Noel V. Marte. and then Ernie Clement, which solidifies their infield, or at least gives second base, just this revolving door of, like, prove yourself or you don't play simply. Boston gets Vladdy, which I know that's all they care about, and they have enough pitching where they don't need Crawford, and they desperately want to get rid of Yoshida, and they won't have a place to put Cassis. So Blue Jays pretty much get a haul back in a way for giving up Vladdy, and of course their solution to this would be sign Pete Alonso, and they have the money for it, so I think it's it's BS if they don't. But, you know, getting Castillo, getting Crawford, there's your 1-2 at this point. Gosman's kind of arguably maybe a 1 or 2 or 3, but last year was very rocky. And then an optional thing was Yoshida. I don't know if the Blue Jays would be willing to take the contract, but I think they should, because his bat is a lot better than Wagner's, at least proven. Yeah. And they have the money to handle his long, weird contract that he has. But, like you mentioned, Leo Rivas, ironically, it was in here. I was saying Leo Rivas and then Ty Pete, because you need to kind of replace that prospect level infielder. And then also, like, why not add to your infielding depth right behind Andrés Giménez, who you just got, who sucks offensively, like, as far as last year, but great defensively. And it just fills a hole, and then Leo Rivas could probably play third for you as well, but I don't think they need to. They have other guys. So this is what I proposed in my reply to him of what I thought would be good.
And I think that the adding Pete from their perspective does make some sense, because then, like, Aurelvis Martinez coming to the Mariners, obviously a guy who's closer to the big leagues, Pete's still a few years away, so they kind of reset that clock a little bit. Not to say that Ty Pete's going to be as good as Aurelvis Martinez, but to just that he is a guy who is extremely athletic and I think fits the team quite well, where they don't necessarily, depending on what they do with Bichette, because obviously there's been talk about them trading Bichette this offseason too. So it's like, you know, what do they do there? And then how do they plan on utilizing shortstop at that point? So I think that the biggest like roadblock here is just what the Blue Jays decide to do if they do decide to get Pete Alonso. I think the trade, I like it. I'm down for it. Like if that happened tomorrow, I'd be over the moon. Yeah. But I just think that it would be really, really difficult. Three-team trades are always so hard to come about. And I think one thing that Colby has said to me before is, could this trade just get done? What, like, just Boston and the Blue Jays, where Cutter Crawford, maybe Yoshida and whatever, and maybe they throw in another guy in there for Vladdy. Could that happen? Maybe. But I think the way you have it laid out here makes a lot more sense for the Blue Jays are getting back in return while also losing Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
Yeah, I this is where Colby rates it a 35, and you know, they don't put it on their show because I think it's so ridiculous, but it's just one of those, to me this seemed like a works for everybody kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And financially also, like, the Blue Jays aren't really spending a whole lot more money, but they are upgrading a lot of holes and they're filling in where they need to. And then Boston, you know, stingy they were. They don't want to give up the prospects. They're so high on Roman Anthony and
Christian Campbell.
And who's the other one?
Marcelo Meyer.
So yeah, like, they're not letting go of those guys. And on top of that, they already gave up their, what, the 4, 5, 11, and 15 for Crochet. Like, they don't want to dig any more into their farm system. I wouldn't want to. I know the fans don't want to either. So if they can avoid that while getting Vladdy over, it's basically like, oh yeah, we're trading away Casas and Crawford for Vladdy, and we're, thank God, getting rid of Yoshida. At this point, mm-hmm. it seems like they're just like, they don't want Yoshida's contract. Like, he's not worth it to them anymore. So this was just my idea.
There's a lot of like asset reallocation for all three teams, where the Blue Jays are getting rid of Vlad because he's going to be expensive. They're not going to reach an extension. Mm-hmm. They're paying him $28 million in arbitration this year already. In that, if you include Yoshida's optional, they're taking on, like, the Blue Jays would be taking on like maybe $10 million more, because Crawford's like at about $3 million in arbitration. Obviously Castillo's at like what, 21. Mm-hmm. And then if you go into Yoshida, I don't remember, is he getting paid 18?
I think he's getting 18, so. But like, he also gets a bunch of other stuff. I don't know.
Yeah. So like a bunch of other. The Blue Jays are getting three players, and maybe they're not as valuable as Vladdy, but like the sum of the parts is greater than the whole for Vladdy in that situation, right? Where like, mm-hmm. you're upgrading the rotation. I think it works functionally. It's just hard to, as Colton kind of said, like, three-team trades do get very muddy, but all three teams are getting better in positions of need while kind of like moving assets and like different allocations for like where money's being spent.
I think
for this trade to work, honestly, you might need to have Yoshida come to the Mariners in this deal, which I don't love, obviously, but you're losing Castillo, right? So to the 22 or whatever, $24 million he's owed, taking on Yoshida, they're still getting that Casas and Yoshida trade they wanted. And then, but the Mariners are also then receiving Aurelvis Martinez and Ernie Clement in this deal as well. But they are taking on $18 million in that deal. So I just don't know. It'd be tough to, in my head anyway, for the Blue Jays to, they can afford it, but to acquire Castillo, acquire Yoshida's money, and also sign Pete Alonso. Like, that's like $60 to $70 million right there, that we're depending on what Alonso gets, obviously, in the end. Like,
you're also getting five guys.
Right, true. Yeah.
And so and Yoshida is an upgrade. It's not like, okay, mm-hmm. we'll eat it. It's like, no, you're getting a Santander level bat if he stays healthy.
Yeah. Yeah. Yoshida's not a bad player. I think
defensively he's terrible.
That's true. I personally still don't hate the idea of Castillo for Yoshida and Casas. Like, I still totally fine if the Mariners were to do that. But yeah, I don't know. It's a very interesting trade that I would be. I think that it's pretty, in my opinion, spot on with where it would need to be. But maybe Yoshida to the Mariners instead of the Blue Jays. But
and yeah, in that situation, would you give another thing from the Mariners to the Blue Jays, or like from the Red Sox to the Blue Jays?
Probably from the Mariners to the Blue Jays. In that scenario, okay. The Red Sox, I mean, losing Crawford's a big blow to them just because he's cost controlled. Yeah, I don't know. It's tough. It's tough to look at it and say like this will definitely work from my perspective on what I'm saying compared to like what Chad had or what Joe would say, because obviously none of us have any idea. But I think it's a fun idea and I'm down. If it happened tomorrow, I just
want to send this to Jerry and be like, hey, buddy.
Just food for thought.
Call them. Send this to their inbox. See what happens.
Yeah. Ring them up real quick. Like, hey, what do you guys think?
Slide into the DMs, man. Just give it a shot.
Whenever I put together
the worst they can say is no, right?
That's right. Yeah, like everybody. So that's the thing. It's like I when I put this together, I was trying to spend some time to understand. Like, I'm trying to come from all aspects of like where. Like, who's the team that's like, nah, we're out. But when I put it together, I'm like, unless the Blue Jays feel like they're worried about, like, Bo Bichette, you know, because he's coming to the end, too. And they're like, oh, well, it's a non-starter for Martinez because he's going to be the one to replace Bichette. Like, that was the only thing I could think of that was, like, a possibility of, like, no-go. Or it's Ernie Clement. But I don't know why they would want to hang on to him that, like, I don't want clutch, you know, pearl clutching him. It just, that part didn't make sense to me because this opens the door for them to sign other people. I mean, they could even, hey guys, you guys also could try and get Bregman for third.
Yeah.
Ooh, not like you don't have the money for that. So just when I put it together, this is what I came up with, and I would love to see it happen, whether it will or not. Probably not, but it'd be awesome. And I feel like Boston would be like, we got Vladdy. Who'd we lose? Cassis and Crawford and Yoshida. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Like Crawford. Cool. I mean, we loved him. Cool. But, you know, everybody's talking about like, how are we going to move Cassis? We're going to get rid of Cassis. Cassis moved. Cassis, like, we're fine. Give us Castillo. Like, they were on board with it, but we said no, supposedly. You guys probably. Yeah. You mentioned that you saw that video with Colby and Gordo and why it was a non-starter, but it was just a money thing. It's not a matter of the players. And I think at this point, the money doesn't become a problem. Hopefully, Blue Jays would want Yoshida because, like I said, it gives the Mariners $18 million to spend on a fifth spot rotation arm.
Yeah.
Which that could get you something pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So that was just my thought. I guess last thing. Before we go, I'm going to skip over the Fujinami because I know you guys need to take off and record your guys' video. Links down in the description for their channel because you guys should go watch them and subscribe because you guys are almost to 13,000, right?
We're about 12.3 right now.
No. Yeah, about like 700 off.
You guys are You guys are almost at 20,000. So the Fujinami thing, I just wanted to make the statement just because it's in my notes. Fujinami is Sasaki with zero control. Cool.
Fair.
Fair enough.
I'm not mad.
Never
at
thought
it.
About it that way.
That's all. Thrower. Same money ish, kind of, and throws hard. And they're both from Japan. That's about it. He just can't locate. Mm-hmm. So, the last thing, it's a little thing called yay or nay. You tell me yay or nay on a player if they have a 50% chance or greater of getting signed by the Mariners this offseason and why. I have three names for you. Ha-Sung Kim, yay or nay. He's at 7.5 million AAV previously. Doesn't mean that he can't make more this coming season and he won't start till May.
I say yay. I think it's a good fit.
Yay. I would say yay over 50%.
Yeah. Okay. I think of the guys that are left, he makes the most sense. Again, he's going to miss the first month. You have created an infield where you can probably cover for that. Where if you have to put, you know, Solano at third for a month, you can get by. It's not my favorite. You can get by. You could put Dylan Moore over there at third for a month. We saw what he did when JP was hurt last year. He filled in really well over at shortstop. Like, Dylan Moore can do it for a month if he has to. So I think yay.
You have to. Oh, God. Hopefully not. Okay, cool. And this is going to get interesting because you guys might want to bounce back. Jose Iglesias. He was $1.5 million AAV previously.
We're like blind ranking, like, you know, one through five. Who would you want most? We've already put someone in two. We can't put Jose Iglesias in one. I'm gonna say no. No MG.
Agreed.
Wow. Yeah, no MG. You talked about this because you had that lined up.
Oh yeah. I mean, if you had asked me Jose Iglesias first, I would have said yay, and then Ha Sung Kim was second, I would have said nay. Like I think either of them would be valuable to the Mariners in 2025. And Iglesias, you're getting him at the beginning, like you get him from day one. Would he be as valuable for the entire season? I don't know. I mean, he was really good with the Mets last year. Is that like a vibes thing? I don't know.
Well, I think we like signing guys that are over 35, so it would be a good fit.
True. Go. It's a good point. I would have said no either way when you asked me Iglesias, honestly. I don't think that there is a realm of possibility, in my opinion, that he comes close to what he did last year.
Not sustainable.
Like, yeah. And so I would much rather have Ha Sung Kim, no matter what order, than Jose Iglesias, even if he is missing that first month.
Curious. Why do you say that about Jose Iglesias, considering that he had a great season, but he's relatively the same age as Solano?
Mm-hmm. Because Solano's done it for like the last, you know, 7-8 years. Iglesias hasn't been a terrible player, but he's a guy where this seems like it's a flash in the pan, like something that happened. You're like, whoa, what the heck happened to that guy? Like, honestly, kind of how Victor Robles might be. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think that, like, again, if they signed Iglesias tomorrow, like, I'm not going to be mad about it, but I'd rather have Ha Sung Kim.
Absolutely. If we can afford him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right, exactly.
I mean, Iglesias would be great. It would be a good move for John Stanton because then he would have concerts at the stadium and make more money to pocket and not put into the team. But yeah, okay. So last name, I'm going to watch you guys as I say this. Jorge Polanco, $5.5 million ABV. Wow, 50-50.
I'm not taking it.
Just had surgery to fix the injury he was dealing with, supposedly for a year and a half now. And he's feeling 100%. So
I'm over it.
Joe's like, nah.
I like, if you've known about it for a year and a half, like that makes me even more sour to the situation. It just didn't work. Cut your losses and move on. It would be like a toxic ex coming back for another year. I feel like I just don't know if I would not be happy watching Jorge Polanco man second base for 90 games in 2025. I would not be very satisfied with that. Even if the knee's better, that means essentially his defense would hopefully be better, but it's never a guarantee. I would say no.
Knees are scary. I get it.
I think that for $5.5 million?
So he had a $5.5 million AAV previously. I assume based off his performance last year that you could probably get him for three at this point.
Rojas got 3.5. I feel like Polanco might be able to, he'd probably get more than Rojas, I think.
Just based on his body of work prior. Yeah.
Maybe, like, but his WRC plus and his WAR last year was significantly worse than Rojas. And Rojas didn't have much offense either, so it's not like
that for me, I'd be willing to give Polanco five and a half. I think that if you were to add him, $5.5 million is nothing. You know what I mean? Like, that's to the Mariners, it's something. But
that's like 35% of what we have left.
That's just, to good baseball teams, that's nothing.
40? No, it's 45% of what we have left.
Oh boy, so it's like, I think that
Joe, I'm sorry. It's just depression's overwhelming, you know?
If he comes back and could be even 80% of what he was when he was with Minnesota, that's more than worth it, in my opinion. Jorge Polanco is a great is a great player to be a second baseman on your team as long as he can provide you some of what he did when he was with the Twins. Last year, I think I put a little bit more merit into years prior. Like, same thing with Iglesias. I put more merit into that than what he did last year. Sample size wise, I think that because of that, I would be definitely willing to bring back Jorge Polanco.
Okay, so you were a nay on Ha Sung Kim, or no?
I was a yay. Yay on yay. Kim.
Okay.
Yep. I went not a yay, yay.
Yay.
Nay.
<technically. laughs> No, you should have said yay. But yeah. I guess okay, so I'll give my reasonings. I'm a nay on Kim. Not because we shouldn't. I think we absolutely should. I don't think he will play in Seattle. I don't think he's willing to come to Seattle. I think Hyesung Kim being a big target for Seattle and then choosing the Dodgers was kind of that killer for Korean players to come to Seattle. It just like there's something there. He's probably going to talk to Hyesung Kim and be like, hey, what was the reason? Obviously, it's the Dodgers. I want to go play for a championship team. They promised me a starting spot. We saw that as Lux got moved off. But it's going to be like, what about Seattle? It's just like, I'm good. And then, of course, the money. He had 7.5 mil last year. That doesn't mean that he's going to make that much or less. It's probably going to be more, probably around 10 mil, which means there's no more money to spend. And I don't think Jerry's willing to go down that route. Plus, he doesn't start till May. I think that bothers the Mariners organization. I think that shouldn't fucking matter at all. So, because your first 2 months are going to be dog shit anyways. So, yeah, I'm a nay on him just because I don't think it's over 50% chance. Jose Iglesias, I say yay because he's cheap. He is a veteran presence. He just came from an amazing culture and everything with New York. New York hasn't brought him back yet, and it makes zero sense to me, which I think sends a bad message to him. So, and on top of that, if they sign him, there's a chance that plays a small role into the possible negotiations, if they're considering it, with Pete Alonso. And then they have a trade. They have a piece inside the system. Now it's just like, hey, call up Pete. Tell him your thoughts. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's some reasoning to make something work out there. So I think that's more of the strategy for the Mariners at a very cheap cost. And you get more depth in the infield, middle infield, especially shortstop. Because we all saw what happened with JP.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that was god awful. And even if he can't repeat what he did in New York, I totally believe that he would be a good presence in the dugout. You just saw what he brought, that morale, that charisma. And that's a cheap thing that's going to really boost that dugout and make everything better. Doesn't mean OMG is coming to Seattle, but maybe he can come up with something else. I have no idea. Jorge Polanco, I would say yay because of how late we are in this offseason. And we haven't done anything. And to have this expectation that we're going to have a bunch of like a big splash with a big name player is like three people. We have like Pete Alonso, Alex Bregman, and I guess Jack Flaherty, but we don't want pitching, right? Or no, they did say they want pitching, but are we going to spend our money on that for a sixth man rotation? It doesn't really make any sense. Mm-hmm. So already having that conversation, already having that connection with Polanco and saying, hey, look, you haven't been picked up by anybody. Will you take a lower contract, 3 mil, 4 mil, something like that for a 1 year prove it deal? And then we are going to talk outside of this and say, we will offer you back your 12 mil a year contract if you're able to perform like you did in the past years for the next 3 years, because then you'll be our starting second baseman, especially now that you are healthy, that you got your surgery. Given that, like, hey, we understand you didn't want to take surgery in the middle of the season and then miss a bunch of games and feel like we just got screwed in a trade and you tried your best and didn't work out. For a cheap option, you can get Jose and you can get Polanco and you might have some pull with Pete Alonso possibility. So those are my reasonings for those guys. And clearly, I had some time to think about this a little bit longer than you guys. So that's why.
I think that's fair. I mean, you're the host here. That's part of the process.
It's weird. It's weird being the host with you guys because normally I just kind of sneak in the back door with you guys and on like, your channel. Hey. Like, hey, nobody knows who I am, but I'm here. So
I'm here, guys.
Yeah. So I appreciate you guys coming on the channel, and it's been longer than we're supposed to. I know you guys have to go record after this. There's plenty to talk about that's out there for your guys' channel. So if you guys are interested, check out Mariner Mojo. The links will be down in the description, including another channel that they might possibly be working on. I'm gonna sprinkle that one in there.
Yeah, yeah.
As a possibility, which is a little bit more similar to what we do on our channel, which is across the MLB. But as far as Mariner expertise, I trust these guys, and I trust Colby and Ty with Locked On, along with the Marine Layer podcast with Ty and with TJ and Lyle. There's just a lot of really good content creators out there. And these guys, I'm so glad you guys finally came on. You're actually the last ones to join me, so I don't know what that's about. You're too cool.
Yeah, we thought you were too hot.
Yeah, we were we were intimidated. That's what it was.
Chad's too good looking.
Thank you. I
drop the skincare routine. Go on.
It's the red beard. I'm looking like Canelo. That's what it is. So again, thank you guys for coming on, and everybody, go check out their stuff. Like the video if you haven't already. Subscribe. At this point, we just hit 3,000 today, so I appreciate you all, and we'll continue putting out content, and we will see you on the next one. Hopefully you guys will come back.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Thank you guys.
Appreciate it, Chad.
Yeah, thank you. Did you mean we'll see you in the next one is like to the viewers or to us?
Both.
There you go. Okay.
All right.
Good answer. That's a PR answer.